Good morning. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Job chapter 1. I want to thank you for your giving. And I pray that God will continue to bless you. I also want to say a big thank you to all those that signed up on Thursday night and the weeks prior to that to teach. We will start the new teaching rotation this week, but you are to be commended. This morning I had prepared a different sermon that hopefully one day I'll get to preach. The title of my lesson this morning is Dealing with Disappointment. The results for the bar exam I took in February came out on Friday afternoon. I scored 261. The pass is 270. Needless to say, I am hurting. First of all, I want to say thanks for all your prayers, for all your encouragement. I feel awful. I feel stunned. On Wednesday, I'll be 25 years old as a Christian. And I've been begging God to give me this awesome spiritual birthday present. He has obviously said no, not now. And so this morning I want to ask, I'm asking myself, and I've been doing this since Friday evening, how do you deal with no? How do you deal with when God says not now? When you've given something, everything you have. And I want to share with you some of the scriptures that I've been meditating on since Friday that has helped me. And I hope this helps you when you face those times when things don't work out the way you want them to. Because God is still in control. I've always believed that, and I still believe that. I am not questioning God. I'm not asking God, why me? Because I know everything happens for a reason. I'm simply trying to understand what God is trying to teach me through all this. See, 25 years ago, like I said earlier, I decided to make Jesus the Lord of my life. At that time, for me, I just finished my first year of law school, becoming a very successful lawyer, making a lot of money was my God. That was what I went after. And I realized that Jesus says, you know what? You got to give it all up to be my disciple. What good is it if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? I decided to make Jesus Lord, and I have not looked back. And I will not look back. But I can honestly tell you, after graduating from law school and moving to Boston and deciding to go into the full-time ministry, I made the decision that I'm going to preach until the day I die, and that is still the case. When I was asked to go to Africa, I bought a one-way ticket. Never thought I would ever come back to this country and live here. And as God will have it, I was gone for 15 years. And 7 years ago, God brought us back. And we're still here, preaching the word of God. A couple of years ago, I spoke to the elders. And I felt, you know what? I'd like to take the bar exam. Hopefully practice some immigration law on the side. And to be able to prepare for retirement. That's what this is all about. And they were very supportive. They've been very, very supportive. They've given me the time and the space to obviously be able to study. And I came out of that exam in February feeling like, you know what, I think I got it this time. I really felt that way. It's kind of funny because the Georgia bar has a... There's automatic regrading. If you score between 265 and 270, they will automatically regrade your papers. Obviously, I got 261. But I'm going to call them this week and ask if they could regrade my papers. I don't know. One brother was trying to encourage me. He says, maybe they missed a page. Maybe they didn't add this stuff right. I said, it still hurts. Because I felt I gave it everything I had. It's one thing not to totally give your heart to something. I felt I gave it everything I had. And I can't imagine, just going through this whole mental exercise again. I know many of you have called and have encouraged me to take it again. Right now, I need several months just to decompress. But I want to share with you this morning some verses I've been looking at the last 30 hours that has really helped me in dealing with disappointment. And I know there are going to be times in my future and in your future when things don't work out the way we think they should. And God allows us to go through these things for a reason. My wife has been encouraging me that, one day I'm going to look back and understand why. But right that I'm in the middle of it right now, I can't really see it. We all know the story. Now, obviously, I'm not comparing anything I'm going through compared to what Job had to go through. But this was a guy who lost everything in a very short period of time. The Bible tells us in Job 1 that he was blameless and he was upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Satan shows up and God gives him permission to tempt Job and to go after him. The devil goes off and attacks Job's kids and they're all killed. And I want us to look in verse 20. It says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Pretty amazing story. In chapter 2, as if that was not enough, again, God gave Satan permission to physically afflict Job on his body. So he breaks out with all these sores, he's in pain. In verse 9, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, the Bible says again, Job did not sin in what he said. So brothers and sisters, one of the ways to deal with disappointment, I want to talk about two things very quickly this morning. Number one is to get some perspective. See, when I compare what I'm going through to what we just read about, it does not even compare. Yes, this for me, this is hard. But Job went through a whole lot more. And the Bible says, if anything, his attitude was, you know what? God gave and God has taken away. And he never charged God with wrongdoing. He never sinned by what he said. See, when we go through hard times, a lot of times the devil will show up and get us to question whether God really loves us. I know God loves me. I know God loves every single one of us. And yes, there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. But we should never question the Lord. We should never question God with wrongdoing. Sometimes God will give us and sometimes God will take away. Sometimes you'll be praying for something and God will say no. Sometimes He'll say not now. We got to keep on going. But we got to get some perspective. Amen? I believe if Job had a chance to talk to me right now, he would say, Richard, get a grip. I believe that's what he would say to me. Compared to what I went through, this is nothing. And I know that that's going to help give me perspective. You know, this week, we've been listening to the news. Many people in Joplin, Missouri, they've lost loved ones. Many of them have lost everything. No job, no home, nothing. And they yet, they're going forward. Picking up the pieces. All those families will gladly trade places with me right now. See, this kind of perspective that's been going through my mind. Even this morning, one of the headlines in the New York Times was, when everything is gone, including a sense of direction. Talking about those men and women in Joplin. I didn't even bother reading it because I knew exactly what it's talking about. The truth of the matter is, no matter what it is we're going through, things are not as bad as they seem. And all I'm saying is, others are going through worse things. If anything, when I see disaster, when I see people going through stuff, I always say to myself, you know what? Wait not for the grace of God, go I. You are going to go through things. I am going to go through things. But we always need to make sure that we have the proper perspective. Look in Romans chapter 8. I'm just sharing verses that have helped me in the last 30 hours. If you're visiting with us, forgive me. We're family in this church. We don't hide anything. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like I got it all figured out. In Romans 8, in verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses should remind all of us that if God is for us, who can be against us? Since God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. He says we can't allow trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness to separate us from the love of Christ. Like Bishop Garber was talking about this morning. Our brothers in the first century, went through persecution. Many of them died for their faith. Some were fed to lions. Some were crucified upside down. Some were burnt at the stake. Praise God, we don't have that in America today. Now, what's it going to take for you, for me, to be separated from the love of Christ? Is it just losing a job? Is it being diagnosed with a terminal illness? Is it going to be the death of a loved one? What is it? But you see, this verse is, know that in all these we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen? God never promised it would be easy. When you said Jesus is Lord, when I said Jesus is Lord, the fight just started. Because Satan is not concerned about you making that confession at the beginning. The question is, are you and I going to continue to be overcomers? So that one day, we're going to be able to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because only overcomers will inherit the crown of life. Only overcomers will be able to eat from the tree of life. And we got to hang in there till the very end. As a matter of fact, as a young disciple, Romans 8:28 was my most favorite verse in the entire Bible. It simply says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Not in some things, the Bible says in everything. What I'm experiencing right now does not make sense. I don't understand it. I'm trying to make sense of it. I gave it all up to follow Jesus. And I will do it again in a heartbeat. Mike Tolliver called me yesterday trying to encourage me. Steve Collier called, prayed with me. Jeff Hickman called, prayed with me. I really thank all those brothers for their love and their prayers and their support. Mike called me and said, Rich, he said, don't be too hard on yourself. So you got a full-time job leading a church. You got a family. You haven't looked at this stuff in 23 years. And you came within 9 points. I say, well, I hear you, but I still don't feel better. Because I know what this took out of me. Obviously, this last time around, I took a review course and it helped me tremendously. Well, you see, I got to get perspective. Because when it's all said and done, God cares, God sees, and in God's time, He will answer my prayers. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen? This passage talks about our eternal inheritance. It talks about how you and I, because of God's great mercy, we've been given new birth. into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. It talks about how right now, for a little while, we will suffer some trials. Again, what I'm going through compared to what the Christians went through in the first century, they don't even compare. But it says, these have happened so that my faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I sent John a text Friday evening asking him to preach Sunday. I said, bro, I can't do this. And he was ready to preach. And as I was talking to Steve Collier yesterday, he encouraged me, he said, bro, you need to get up there. He says, the church needs to see you. Deal with your own disappointment. And I'm glad he said that. You see, I'm writing a book actually right now. And one of the chapters is the testing of your faith. You better believe I've been writing in my head the last 24 hours. This is all I'm talking about. See, as I write this chapter, I just got word that I did not pass the bar exam. And I'm just going to continue from there. I know God has a reason for everything. Now that chapter I would have read differently if I'm not going through this. Now I still would have shared something about what I've gone through in the past, but it would not be this. This is still very fresh. And so, you know, I'm going to write it down. But you see, your faith is going to be tested. My faith is going to be tested. I have no idea what curveball the Lord is going to throw me next year or sometime later on this year. But it's coming. It will be there. But I want us to always understand that as long as we have the perspective that simply our faith is being tested, God is trying to find out what you and I are truly made of. Because it's easy to love God and to sing and to be celebrating and to be alive when everything is going great. The question is, when we're going through adversity, when God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers, how do we handle those times? John 10. This really puts everything in perspective for me. In John chapter 10, again, a passage we're very familiar with. Jesus had sent out his apostles to go heal the sick. And they came back all excited that even the demons were submitting to them in Jesus' name. In verse 34, John 10, Jesus answered them. Hold on a second, where am I? I'm sorry. I typed down the wrong thing again. It's Luke 10. In Luke 10 in verse 18, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that your spirits submit, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, this puts it all in perspective for me. That regardless of what I'm feeling right now, regardless of what I'm going through, my name is in the book of life. When it's all said and done, I am going to heaven. And that ought to make me happy. That ought to make me joyful. That ought to be enough. And believe me, church, it is enough. Because again, in the eternal perspective of things, I'm going to heaven. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what challenges you may face, you have some now. And we always need to remember this. Amen? We need to get some perspective. And very quickly, number two, in dealing with disappointment, we need to stay close to God. Hebrews chapter 12. Stay close to God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 11, he's just finished talking about all these incredible men and women of faith that you and I know of in chapter 11. And in chapter 12, he begins by saying, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." In your struggle against sin, Richard, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness." Verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." God really has a sense of humor. I had no idea when I assigned this as one of our memory verses for our basic Christianity classes that God was going to make me live this out right now. He says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." We always need to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's all I've been doing. That's all I can do. Asking God for strength. Asking God to increase my faith. I am not going to pull away from God. Never have, I never will. You see, when we go through hard times, one or two things happen. We either draw closer to God, or we draw away from him. Satan wants us to draw away. You and I cannot do that. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. He tells us to consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. As hard as this may seem for me, I have not yet resisted to the point of shedding my blood. We got to stay close to God. In Isaiah 40, you can write this one down. Isaiah chapter 40. A passage again we all know. But you don't need to turn there because of time. I'll just read it. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 30, it says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wing like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." See, we got to wait on the Lord. You know, the more I think about it, I'm not sure this exam is designed for 49-year-old men like me. We've been out of school for 23 years. But I'm still a young man. I remember walking into that exam room and seeing all these kids. Like, man, I'm old enough to be their dad. And they're looking at me with my gray hair. It didn't bother me. But I'm still here. I'm still standing. I got to wait upon the Lord, and God is going to renew my strength. When you stand firm, God will renew your strength. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, write this down in verse 16 to 18. It talks about how for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Note, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen? And I'd like to close out in Mark chapter 10. Steve Garbrecht referred to this in his sermon to the men on Thursday night. And I'm holding on to this promise. This is right after the rich young ruler come, asking for the way to eternal life. Jesus told him to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor and then come follow him, and he wouldn't do it. And so he went away sad. And Jesus basically saying, you know what, it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And Peter asked the question that I know a lot of us ask when we gave a lot up to follow Jesus. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. In other words, what's in this for me? What's in this for us? I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. These scriptures are true. They are still true. God's promises never fail. I have received 100 times and then some. I got brothers and sisters all over this world, of all different races. I got mothers and fathers all over the place. God has blessed me. God has blessed you in incredible ways. And yes, there's going to be times when we fall. There's going to be times when we're disappointed. We got to hold on to God's promises. Because one day we will see the big picture. And so, church, again, I want to thank you for your love, for your support, for all your prayers. I don't know if I'm going to take this exam again or not. If I do it again, it's not going to be until February of next year at least. I don't know. But pray for me. I'm hurting, but I'm still standing. God bless you all.
Let's pray, and then we'll have a final song. Let's pray together. Father, how awesome it is to come and worship you this morning. Father, how awesome it is to know you, but more important, that you know us. Thank you so much for saving us. Thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your kingdom. God, thank you so much that our name is written down in the book of life in heaven. That somewhere in heaven, our name is in that book. Father, how awesome it is to know that one day we will see you face to face. That we can come and give you a big hug, and that our life, our troubled life on earth will be gone. That we won't remember our life on earth. God, thank you so much for that assurance. God, thank you so much for today that we can come and worship you. Truly, God, you know our ways. Father, you are just in the way that you deal with us. God, your ways is always good. Father, you've always been good to us, and you will continue to be good to us. Father, I know there are many of us who are hurting. I know many of us are close to, we're losing our jobs and we're losing our homes and we don't know how to put food on the table sometimes. But God, I pray you would comfort us. God, I pray that you would be close with us and we're close with you. Father, I pray that today would be a day where we remember you, Father. As a Memorial Day weekend comes here upon us again, God, that we will remember you, remember Jesus and what he done for us. God, I pray that today we will leave encouraged and inspired to do great things for you because of you, because of your love, because of heaven awaiting for us. Father, we love you so much. Please be with us this week. Please help us. Please guide us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's stand up. Richard believes that God should bless America sometime other than just late innings of baseball games. So he has blessed us. Let's ask him to continue to bless us.
Oh, mercy.
As we close out.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide.